highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
And he who does not take his cross and follow me, follow after me, is not worthy of me. Taking up your cross can include bearing the reproach of Christ. Those who have criticized you and scorned you because of your relationship with Christ. It can include persecution, but it also means willing to take humiliation and following Christ no matter what, even to death, because the cross is an instrument of death.
Exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. A disciple must follow Jesus even to the place of taking his cross. When a person took a cross in Jesus' day, it was for one reason, to die. The ancient Roman cross did not negotiate, did not compromise, and did not make deals. There was no looking back when you took up your cross, and your only hope was in resurrection life. Your cross isn't really your particular trial or trouble. The cross means one thing, death. Death to self, but resurrection life unto God. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he concludes chapter 10 in the Gospel of Matthew.
Being lost, but God knows. And if something so insignificant like a hair on my head he's got numbered, how much so for the real important things of my life? Oh, so much more important, aren't they, than just the hairs of my head? Something insignificant like that. Many of you have, you're losing hair all over this place today. Thank God we vacuum. I'm just kidding. But we do. And we don't even know what's happening. And it's so insignificant. God goes, I know. That was hair number 10,145. But I care more than just the hairs of your head. I care about you. I care about you. You're a soul. You're a person that I've made. I've created in my own image. I've got such a great plan for your life. And you know, God knows every heartache that you've ever had. He knows how many nights you've cried yourself to sleep because of your sin and the consequences of your sin. Even now, he knows of the wayward child or children who has continued in rebellion that you have. They're ruining their lives while you watch from a distance and they've shunned your overtures of truth and love. He's aware that your marriage is on the rocks and that you're dying inside, hoping that God opens the heart and the eyes of your spouse. He is aware of your fears concerning your finances and future stability. He's aware of your fears concerning the state of the country, politics, and morality, and justice, and law, and accountability. He's aware of all these things, and what does he say? Do not fear, therefore. You are worth more value than many sparrows. Notice that Jesus is placing the order of living things in their proper order. Remember in Genesis when God created everything? He didn't create man first, did he? No, he had to create man last. Because before he puts man into this place, he has to create things that will sustain man. He created the heavens and the earth and the water and the plants and the birds and all of the beasts of the field. He created all those things. And finally, lastly, on day six, he creates man. Because man needs those things to survive. Everything in its order, and the capstone of his creation is man. The Bible calls us his workmanship, in the Greek, poema. You're his workmanship. He cares. And you are more important than any of the animals. You are more important than the plants. And so when we kill animals to live, you know, we got to do it humanely, you know, for food and stuff like that. But he does it because you are more important than they are. But he loves them and he takes care of them as well. Do you follow me? But somehow in our culture today, they place animals on a greater plane than man. I'm not advocating that animals should be treated poorly or tortured. No, not at all. But God did create them for us to live. A man will be fined for mishandling his dog or treating his dog poorly, but a child who survives an abortion attempt in a hospital can be denied health care to survive it after they come out of the womb. They tried to abort it in the womb. It's still alive. It's still hanging on to life. And as soon as the kid comes to life, now they're developing laws where they just say, well, just kill it. Get rid of it. Oh, wait, it's a female. It's a male. Made in God's image. They don't care about life, but God forbid you touch the dog, but kill the human being. Incredible hypocrisy. Incredible evil. God loves the sparrow. He made it. And he says, aren't you more worth than those sparrows? And those sparrows are insignificant to us, but to God they are not. And yet he calls those things to serve us. We have to be good stewards, no doubt. We have to be kind. But God knows what's more important, the animal or the creation or the one who he created it for. We have to understand that biblically, because today everything is going to pot. Everything is going to pot. What does it tell us in Romans? That professing, and this is speaking of the ungodly man today, professing to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature or the creation rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Aren't we seeing that today? Anything but a person. For heaven's sakes, don't touch the spotted owl, but kill the kids. Do you realize how devilish that is? Do you realize how nonsense? It doesn't even make sense. It's the worst possible thought, and yet it's embraced. Shame on America. Shame on every institution and doctors who perform this stuff. And shame on administrators. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat who do this stuff. Shame on them. Democrat or Republic or independent. They serve the creature rather than the creator. And God says, I put the creation at your fingertips, Adam. It's to serve you. Now give them a name because you're to have dominion over them. But people today put the animal plane above man, and yet God made man the capstone. Do you follow? And what's happening today? And then we wonder why we're in such hell. I don't think hell is Gehenna. I think hell is America. Not quite, of course. I'm being facetious and maybe God in the end will, instead of sending them to Gehenna, the lake of fire, I'll just send you to America. They're engaging in everything. Verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. It's important for us to proclaim Christ to anyone and everyone. Are you willing to share that truth? Are you willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? This denial of an individual before God the Father is not just some kind of temporary moment of fear, which we have all gone through. You might be at Wegmans, and the Lord is putting on your heart to share with somebody in the checkout line as you're standing there waiting for somebody to get their coupons out of their purse. And so you get this unction, and then for fear or for whatever it is, you don't say anything. It's not talking about that. I mean, that's something that we got to deal with, right? But it's not speaking about that. But it's speaking about a life that has continued in rebellion, has no desire for God, doesn't want to the life of Christ, doesn't want to even speak of Christ, but yet they call themselves a Christian and they go to church. That's the person this is for. Do not think, verse 34, that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Yes, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but this message is going to create division. And many of you know this already. Do not be discouraged or disheartened in the fact that when you share the Christ who is in you, don't be afraid when your family members are no longer wanting to feel, they don't feel comfortable with you. You know, they'll invite you, everyone else for Christmas dinner, but for some reason you didn't get an invitation. And on Thanksgiving, they're calling up everybody else, but you're not invited. They don't even want you to send gifts to the kids. And they're certainly not going to let you have them for a weekend or to take them out to the mall, take them out to miniature golf, because you belong to Christ. Because you belong to him, the enemies will be the... Now, does that mean that we should treat them poorly? No. We just have to realize that that is just part and parcel. We're to love them, even though it kills us inside. You may be even angry. Take it to the mat. Take those emotions, that desire, that frustration, take it to the mat. Go in before your prayer closet and say, Lord, I am just so sorry. I'm so sick of my heart, and I'm angry. I just want to lash out. And the Lord's like, I know, because I've been there. I'm here to comfort you. See, that's what we need to do. We can't take it out on them. They're just pawns. They don't even know. Because they're not governed by the Holy Spirit of God. They're governed by the spirit of this age. And if you're not governed by the Spirit of God, you're governed by the devil. I'll just put it in brass tacks. That's what it is. That's it. I'm either governed by the Spirit of God or the spirit of this age. And the spirit of this age, we know who the father of that is. It's not Jesus. But it's very common for a son or daughter to be saved and to have their father or mother, who's a staunch believer of another religion, casting them out of the house, disowning them. And this is especially true in the Middle East, in the Muslim and the Jewish religions. Receiving Christ in those religions is like receiving an eviction notice from the family and even a death sentence. And this has happened. I've known people who have grown up in the Catholic Church. They get radically saved and are set free from their sin. They love Christ with all their heart. They want to read the Bible now more than ever. They go to the Bible studies. They quit drinking. They can discontinue illicit relationships. They stop swearing like a sailor, and the family hates it. I want the old guy back. I want the one that was, you know, thieving and drinking with us after Mass. I want that guy back. I don't want this Jesus person. And now you get saved and now you want to read the Bible? Well, you're not going to do it here. Wait, I thought we were Catholic, Mom. We go to church. This is what it's about. It should be about Jesus. Well, it's not about Jesus in this house. Hey, I'm being honest. This is really uncomfortable for me to say because some of you are like, I'm never coming here again. But I'm telling you the truth because I know people who are in the Catholic faith who have had family disown them. And I've also known a young woman who used to sit right here many years ago. She was from Iran. And she came here from Iran, and she came here to go to the university. And while she was here in the university, she got radically saved, she and her brother. And they both realized we can't go back home. Our parents, our family, the men in our family are going to kill us. She actually had to get, I got to be careful here. She had to get legal papers drawn up so that she could stay here for fear of her life. And she stayed here in America because if she went home to that Muslim culture, that religion, her own father would have probably beaten her to death. Verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Notice that we are to love our family, but our love for the Lord should be so much greater, right? It should be much greater. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Taking up your cross can include bearing the reproach of Christ. Those who have criticized you and scorned you because of your relationship with Christ. It can include persecution, but it also means willing to take humiliation and following Christ no matter what, even to death, because the cross is an instrument of death. It is an instrument of death. And he who finds his life, Jesus says, will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who finds his life will lose it. This is the person who has no regard for the Lord's will in their life. They make their plans, they plan their life, they continue in those plans, and subsequently, it may be a pretty decent life. Maybe it's okay, but they'll never know God's best for them. They'll never know God's plan for their life and what was really best for them, what he created them to be. And I love the fact that when you find what God has created you to do, there is nothing you'd rather do in your life. You're like, I am so glad that now I know what it is, and I'm going to go after it with all of my guts. I'm going to go after it with everything I've got. There's nothing greater in the world, folks, and I'm living it. And I am so blessed. And I'm so thankful. I truly am. I get to do this. If I didn't have to live and actually receive some kind of paycheck, I would do this for free. It'd be nice. Maybe I need a wealthy benefactor like, you know, never mind, I won't say that. We actually do have a wealthy benefactor, and he provides all of our needs. I'm just being silly. And a little levity right now would be good, right? So we're good. But if a person continues in a Christless life, in a Christless, and they die Christless, then they will not be mentioned before the throne of heaven. And they will spend an eternity separated. And Jesus goes on finally, and then we'll take, if the worship team could come on up. And but Jesus finishes and he says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So there are rewards in glory for the believer. For little small things, God is not so much concerned about the big things. Well, I led this African nation to Christ. I went over there on a mission trip, and I swung in there on a vine, and I stomped down, and I said, repent or die. And they all flocked at my feet, and I handed out tracts. And they all got saved. That's, if that really happens, great. I mean, not with the attitude, of course, but the little things. The little things that you do are important to God. The little things. Don't be afraid of the day of small beginnings. Start small and don't worry. Just do the right thing. Every single moment of your life, do the right thing and you will be rewarded for it. We're rewarded for a blessed life now on this earth with persecutions, but in the life afterwards, everlasting life with Jesus. It really can't get any better than that. It really can't. I want to encourage you as we take communion together this morning, that as the worship team leads us, just take inventory of what was said today. It was some pretty difficult things. But these things are real. And I pray today that if you're a believer in Christ, including myself, that we would take inventory of our life and that we would not play games with things that we know that we're doing that are not right. That we would be those examples to our family and friends, to each other, to the world around us, that we would take those things and say, you know what, I'm done. Will you be done? It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to still mess up. But what is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. It's a promise. Take that promise and run to the bank with it. And if you're not a believer this morning, you've heard an earful today. And I would encourage you to give your heart to Christ. He loves you so very much. And even after the service, if you want to receive Jesus, come up if you want. I'd be glad to pray with you. If I'm with somebody, then grab somebody and just say, hey, I want to receive Christ and just pray. All you have to do is confess your sin and receive Christ. It's that simple. Confess my sin and receive him as Lord and Savior. And then you read and you pray and you come back to church and get built up and get encouraged again. And you keep doing that. And then you keep sharing those things that you learn. Just like the Sea of Galilee, right? We receive from above, we're blessed with it, and then we give it out. That's the whole purpose of our life. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this time, and I pray that, Lord, you just encourage us as we take communion together in Jesus' name. You remember the night that Jesus was taken after he had this, what we call the Last Supper. That night he did something different. In the Passover meal, what we're doing right now wasn't part of the Passover meal. It was something that Jesus appended to it once for us to continue to do. And we do that to remember his death. And that's why we take these tokens, the bread signifying his body that was broken for us, and the cup, meaning the blood that was shed on the cross for him. We take these things, and as we do, we ingest them. We take them down to the very innermost part of us. And that's the whole idea, that the truth of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that would be living in the very center of us. And that would manifest itself out in very practical means, practical ways to everyone around us. And so, Lord, we take this knowing that your body was broken for us. Let's partake. And Jesus, when he passed around the cup too, he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament, New Covenant. Take it in remembrance of me, and as often as you do, do it in remembrance of me." So let's take it together. It is a great privilege to take communion with all of you, knowing that we are all on the same page. When we take communion together like this, we are affirming and confirming what Jesus did. And to have anybody in any room like this number of folks, number of people, to agree on anything is a miracle. And yet, we agree on this, do we not? It is the thing, the central thing, the only thing, the most important thing that holds us together, the body of Christ. What a wonderful thing. So let's stand and pray. Thank you for your patience. Lord, we thank you for this time together, and we pray that you bless us, Lord, encourage us. And Lord, again, I pray for anyone here this morning that has heard this message that has not been easy to hear, I know. Lord, I pray for them, and I pray that they would give their heart to you today, God, that there'd be no one left in this room, Lord, that hasn't given their hearts to you. And Lord, have the assurance, having the assurance then of salvation in glory in heaven forever, rather than hell where there is torments forever. But Lord, to be with you where there are pleasures forevermore, holy pleasures. Lord, how we thank you for that. And pray that, Lord, you would encourage my brothers and sisters. I pray for each one of them as they leave this place today. Lord, that you would encourage them, that you'd bring them good health. Lord, that you would give them, just renew your spirit within them, and myself included. Lord, give us new hearts and new minds. Continually fill our minds with good things, Lord. Help us to renew in the spirit of our mind, Lord, these things by reading your word. Cleansing our hearts, Lord, giving us the endurance and the love and the grace to live in the world that we do. Lord, help us to do it with joy and with gladness. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.